You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
Leviticus 26:6. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. The connection here to the U.S. is the idea of ensuring domestic tranquility. My guest for this episode is the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. She's also been named by the Christian Post as a top four most powerful pro-life female voice, and she's been named to the Newsmax top 100 most influential evangelists in America. Penny Nance, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Oh, thanks, Jason. Thank you so much for having me on.
First of all, I got to start off with this. It was awesome to see you at the last CPAC. Great job during your panel there.
Well, I enjoyed that. I'm a big fan of CPAC and Matt and Mercy Schlapp, and it was just a really great experience. It was a wonderful opportunity to come together with other conservatives and to celebrate that our win and the overturn of Roe, but also to get down to business and talk about next steps and the work that we need to do.
I want to start off this episode, Penny, as I do with all of my episodes and all my guests. Tell us a little bit about your faith journey and just give our listeners a foundation for where everything that you're doing now comes from.
Well, I will tell you that everything I'm doing, all the work at CWA, and certainly this position predates me, is based on biblical principle and biblical truth. Honestly, every achievement that I've had, every opportunity I've had in life, really comes down to one word, and that's God. I'm a preacher's kid from Appalachia. I grew up in eastern Tennessee and eastern Kentucky in a coal mining town. My dad was the pastor of a church of about 300 people. And, you know, I grew up a preacher's kid. There's hard things about that, but the beautiful thing about that is you hear the gospel continuously. Ask Jesus in my heart when I was a little six-year-old. But then, of course, your faith grows with you and matures with you, and it's not a static thing. It's, can I use the word evolving? An ever-evolving thing, in that every single day I get up and I ask for mercy and forgiveness, but I so deeply believe in the redemption through Christ, and it's really what fuels my life. My faith is the most important thing in my life, and I'm just incredibly grateful that I heard the gospel as a child, and so I was able to, you know, inculcate it into my own heart early, but also to continue to grow as a, you know, a teenager and older in life. I'm imperfect and ever in need of Jesus' sacrifice for my sin and redemption, but that's the bottom line, right? That's the whole point of the story. We never arrive. We have to continually ask for forgiveness because we're broken people, but that's why Jesus died.
Concerned Women for America, CWA. Tell us a little bit about CWA and also more directly how faith plays a role in the core values and overall mission of the organization.
Well, CWA was founded in 1979 as really the antithesis, the ERA and the National Organization for Women. You had at that time in history a group of women who were pro-abortion, who were very Marxist, actually, at their core, and they were advocating for policy positions in our country, and even, you know, for an actual constitutional amendment that would strike down any limits on abortion and, you know, had many, many outcomes that would result that would be so hurtful to our nation. And so you had a group of women claiming to represent American women. And our founder, Beverly LaHaye, who was a pastor's wife in Southern California, got so tired of it. One day, leader of that movement was on television and she said, "I am speaking for the women of America. We want abortion." And Beverly LaHaye, our founder, literally leapt up off the couch and said to the television, "Well, you don't represent me, and you don't represent the women that I know and women of faith." And she was right. And so she got active and held a rally to oppose the ERA and to protect the sanctity of life. And 1,200 women showed up. She didn't, you know, she thought she'd have maybe a few hundred. And it grew from there. And now we have 500,000 women around the country and young Women for America leaders around the country. And we have just continue to grow and flourish since that time because our positions are based on biblical principle. They're unchanging. And so we are working very hard to connect women of faith to what that means carried out in the sphere of public policy. What does that look like? What are the principles that we should embrace and we should work towards if we truly believe that God's word is true?
You mentioned very briefly there that you have young women all over the country now with YWA. I know registration is closed for the leadership summit later on this year, but just let everybody know what that's about so that in the future, if they want to attend, they'll kind of have an idea of what it is.
So our Young Women for America, our chapters are collegiate and high school leaders. We have chapter presidents, but we also have ambassadors. And these are women that are, you know, growing in their knowledge and leadership, who believe in our core values and want to be a part of what we're doing. So if they want to come to concernedwomen.org and click on the Young Women for America link, they can learn more about that because we're growing. We have about 150 different leaders on college campuses around this country. And it is incredible how much interest we've been finding. And part of it, I think, honestly, is young women who are so put off by what they're seeing on their college campuses, the bullying that they're having to endure, the cookup culture, the things that are contrary to their beliefs and their faith. They're so happy to have other young women in community and growing in their knowledge. We give them training, hands-on training in understanding biblical worldview, constitutional principles, and free market principles. And so we would love to have any of your listeners that are, you know, young women and or older women that are concerned women for America, interested in Concerned Women for America, come to concernedwomen.org. And we'd love to have, if there are any of your listeners are interested in sponsoring our leadership summit, which will be September 8th and 9th, they also can contact us through the website.
Awesome. Now, two more topics that I want to talk about. One means a whole lot to me. It's somebody that has not only been a high school coach, pro coach, college coach, but also someone that has, since 2011, been an agent and a life coach for athletes and really specializing in working with female athletes. Let's talk about protecting the female athlete. Such a big topic right now. We could do a full 24-hour show, I believe, on this topic alone, Penny. But what advice do you have for those college kids out there or those high school kids out there that are listening to this episode right now that are being told by their schools, if you say anything about what our stance is as a school, you're going to, for the college kids, you might lose your scholarship. You're not going to get playing time. What advice would you give these kids out there, whether they're high school or college kids, when it comes to that? Because it's something that I heard the other day that was going on, and it's really upsetting that schools are actually threatening to take away scholarships and playing time if kids go out and speak about this. We can't have males in female athletics.
Well, because there won't be female athletics, right? I mean, if men can play in women's sports, there'll be men's sports and there'll be co-ed sports, but there won't be women's sports. And so we just recently celebrated 50 years of Title IX. Title IX was the law that passed that prohibited discrimination against women in education. And part of that is you can't give all the tax dollars to the boys for sports. Women need to be able to actually have sports as well and to have teams because it's really important for development and leadership. Girls who participate in sports are less likely to engage in risky behavior, less likely to have eating disorders. Their grades tend to be better. They tend to be better professionals later on. I mean, it just opens up opportunities for women. So it's very important that we allow this continue, and it is being threatened. We have had our Young Women for America leaders come in. We've had them testify before state legislatures. We've had them testify before Congress, and they are speaking up. And what they're saying is, you are undermining any ability for me to achieve. So I've spent years, my mother got up at o'clock 30 to drive me to the pool or the track or whatever sport that I was participating in. And I worked so hard in order to achieve and have the ability to compete at the collegiate level. But now you're telling me I have to compete against biological men who are going to win. I mean, Leah Thomas is the perfect example. We have other examples. We had a collegiate volleyball player talking about how the men's volleyball net is 7 inches higher than the women. So when a man crossed over, predictably, he was hitting the ball down their throat. Like it was not even fair because biologically he is larger, his bones are larger, his heart is bigger, his lungs are bigger, his blood's better oxygenated. It's just a simple matter of science. We have taken this on and took it on 5 years ago. Just at the beginning, people didn't know about it. They didn't understand what was happening. CWA stepped forward and like, wait a minute, this is wrong. And it also impacts women in domestic violence shelters and their safe spaces, the few little business set asides that we have. And so, you know, it is discriminatory and we are not going to be silent. So we have filed a civil rights complaint against the University of Pennsylvania with the Department of Education. It's actually our third complaint. We won the first one. We've got two more now in process. We need plaintiffs. We are working with other organizations, legal organizations, and we need women that are brave enough and willing to file suit against the NCAA and file suit against their colleges for violating their civil rights. This is a civil rights violation. They have the right to have privacy. Okay, I didn't even mention in their locker rooms. You have the situation where you have men, who biological men, who are still interested in women, who are told that they can shower and be in the locker room, change in the locker room with the women. And the women are told, you cannot disagree. You cannot protest. This is not up to you. Be quiet. That is a problem. And we are not going to let this go.
What would you tell them to do if they are given that ultimatum to either leave the team and talk or stay on the team and don't talk?
This is something they need to pray about and talk to their parents about. You know, it gets hard. Like, I'm not going to just in a cavalier manner say to these girls, yeah, you just need to walk off the field. Well, maybe right. They do. But I would say do it in the way that has the most impact and tell everybody where you're going and call the local news agency while you're at it. Because you'd be speaking for your teammates. But, you know, if you're losing a scholarship, I mean, that's really hard. But guess what? Eventually they're going to graduate and then they'll be freed up to say what they want to say. And so this is going to get worked out in the courts. This is actually going to happen. But in the meantime, women are being treated so disrespectfully in such a discriminatory manner that it is repugnant and anathema to what we believe in this country and the principles we were founded on. And so I would urge them to say, you know what? I've had it. I'm going to tell everybody what's happening. This is a problem. And we'd love to help them. But if the Lord is not giving them the freedom to do that, and in coordination with their parents, you know, they need to stay and talk about it when they're done. But we will support them no matter what. And even if they are not ready to talk about it, we will be here when they are. And we are speaking for them to anybody that would listen, including members of Congress.
Before I get to this last topic, I want to say this about the topic that we just talked about. Nobody, I have not heard a single person out there, and I want everybody that's hearing this episode right now to understand this is not what people are saying. People are not saying that biological males that want to be female should not compete in sports. They need to have their own conference, or they need to compete in the gender they are, which is male. That's all people are saying.
This has such deep impact, first off, into women's self-esteem and their ability, but it's knocking women off their platforms, taking their trophies, taking their scholarships. This has serious implications. And add to that, we're so concerned about Title IX violations, sexual issues and college campuses, and yet we're telling women that you are not even allowed to protest with a biological man with all still the biological accoutrement. You're not allowed to protest them being in your locker room. I mean, come on. Like, did we lose our minds? What is happening? And, you know, also I think the key to this is the alumni. These major universities, the donors and the alumni, the donors in particular, have a really big voice. You should know the goal is that the women have no rights in their own dorm room, that in every single dorm, whether you want it or not, if a man identifies as a woman, he should be believed and put in your daughter's dorm room. I mean, this is very serious. And if the parents and the alumni and, you know, the boards do not speak up, then we are really risking the mental health and safety on some level of young women. I'm not saying that men necessarily individually that identify as women are predators, although we know that's happened and we know that women are being raped in women's prisons by men. But what is also true is there are pedophiles or men who are predatory that will do whatever they can to have access to women. So if it takes them filling out a form in a certain way in order to gain access to women, sure, why would they not do it? So you got to recognize there are safety concerns. You've got to be careful. And I understand that gender dysphoria is a serious issue. It's a serious matter. And there are healthcare consequences. They need care. But you cannot disadvantage an entire gender, half the population, because a very small group wants things a certain way.
Definitely. Now, Penny, last topic for you. I know it's something that y'all recently started. I will not do anything Disney at this point. There's some great movies on Disney Plus, right? Especially for sports fans, but I can't do it. Tell us a little bit about Toss Target and how that, along with other things, are helping to fight back against woke and corporate America.
Yeah, woke corporatism is, again, another very serious issue. So even as an investor, you need people who, you know, most of us are saving for retirement and have our money invested. There is so much wokeism going on. So I don't have time to go into it, but I would suggest your listeners look up the issue of ESG and understand what's happening. And you have small groups of people pressuring corporations into doing horrible things, including what we're just getting ready to talk about. And that is the fact that after Roe was overturned, you had a group of corporations, the Fortune 500 companies, that said, oh, well, we're going to make part of your package up to $4,000 in a donation towards your travel to undergo an abortion. Okay, let me just remind you that the women who choose life get nothing. They're not in some way helped out for the cost of gasoline to drive their child to childcare or the extra money it costs for childcare if their kid's sick or, you know, any of the many, many, many expenses that we all know as parents come up for our kids. But no, it's only for the employees that choose to end their pregnancy by taking a life. And so they have weighed in to the biggest moral question of our time. We did not ask them to get involved in this. Most Americans just want them to do whatever the thing is that they do. And in this case, we're talking very specifically about companies. If you go to concernedwomen.org, we have a list of companies that have chosen upsize and have become pro-abortion companies. And we have said, here's some alternatives to this. And at the very top of that list is the company Target. Now, Target has weighed into these kind of issues before. They were one of the first companies to say that men could use women's changing rooms and our restrooms. And they also have notably decided to sell something called bust binders, which is something for teenage girls to make their chest flat so they can appear to be boys and, you know, transition socially into being boys. And so, again, they're wading into sort of these cultural issues. But more recently, they have decided that they are going to pay for their employees to travel for abortion. And, you know, there are a lot of companies that have made the alternative decision. We have retailers that have just decided to stay out of it and sell us goods that we like and that we can afford and to offer their employees a good place to work. And those people should be rewarded. We should be choosing those people instead of the corporatists who so don't understand or don't like the pro-life movement that they're willing to offend us and not to accept our money. In fact, we'll be using our money to end human life, because that's how it works. You buy goods, they make a profit, it goes to their bottom line, and so that enables them to pay their employees or to give their employees a benefit. And this is absolutely wrong. And so in order to have an ethic of human life in all of your life, you need to be thinking about the things that we're buying, the way we're spending our money, and if possible, looking for other alternatives, and also rewarding the companies that have chosen not to get involved in the abortion battle and just to remain neutral. And so anyway, I just really felt so strongly that we as pro-life Americans, if we're serious about what we say and we don't want our money entangled with abortion, paying literally for someone's gas, car, plane ticket, whatever it is, it will save them money on travel so they have more money to pay for that abortion. If we care about that, we need to withhold funds from those companies. Just choose another. Retailers are ubiquitous. We do not need to spend money at Target. I know we're getting ready to go into school season. It's time for moms to spend a lot of money on school supplies and on athletic equipment. I think, you know, we can really make a better choice. And if you happen to be employed by one of these companies, there's a labor shortage. Go work for somebody else that actually appreciates and honors your values.
Penny, it's been awesome having you on this episode. I know I've enjoyed it. I know for sure our listeners are enjoying this episode. So thank you so much for taking your time today.
Great talking to you, Jason.
Penny, go ahead and pray us out to end the show.
I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that we're so honored that we live in a country where we still can say what we believe. And Lord, we just pray for Jason and his audience, God, that you will just bless them. And God, I pray for our nation. And I pray for our nation's leaders. I pray for our president and for the cabinet and for members of Congress and the Supreme Court justices. Lord, give us wise rulers. And I pray, Lord, that you will help our leaders to honor you and to only advance policies that honor you, that are righteous, and help us as citizens to vote our values and to protect the values, the least of these, the unborn, and the things that we believe in. Help us stand firm. And God, I pray that you will just help CWA to grow and to continue to educate the public on how to engage on these issues, how to do it in a way that's winsome and is smart and can bring people to our side. Lord, we above all just thank you for your sacrifice, and we thank you for your son and for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us, Lord, to honor you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time. Later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.